Who is this SOB?
Yeah, like who does he think he is?
My thought exactly. Who is this SOB? Who is this SOB?
This is Steve Noble, uber conservative, Bible thumping Southern Baptist syndicated talk radio show host. And am I that SOB? I certainly have been guilty of that in terms of how I've interacted with people I don't agree with, including my own kids, and perhaps people like you too. So whether you're liberal or conservative, gay or straight, black or white, a Christian, an atheist, or a follower of some other faith, I hope I won't be quite the SOB you might expect me to be. Only time will tell. On today's SOB podcast, I've been listening to the popular new series by Wondery called Guru, The Dark Side of Enlightenment. And there sure is a lot to think about and work through. Hey, if you like the podcast, please subscribe and tell your friends, and be sure to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under Who Is This SOB? Or check out the website at whoisthissob.com. Okay, let's dive into Guru, The Dark Side of Enlightenment.
From Wondery, I'm Matt Stroud, and this is Guru.
Okay, so Guru sounds a little, you know, kind of New Age, Middle Eastern, typically has a spiritual connotation. But Guru, right from the Wondery website, says, when we face challenges in life, we seek answers from people we believe can help us. So I think most of us are in that boat, don't you? Now, of course, for me, you know, the Bible thumper guy, my guru is, yeah, you guessed it, Jesus Christ. But who is it for you? If you're not a religious person, maybe another faith, that's probably not Jesus, but maybe it's somebody else you look up to, or somebody that you would perhaps want to look up to or would be inclined to follow. So would you follow somebody like James Arthur Ray?
You must have a passion for growth, because there's a law in your universe that states if you're not growing, you are dying. Please remember that.
James Arthur Ray was an Oprah-endorsed guru.
Okay, James, I just love what you just said during the commercial break. I hadn't heard that before.
Turned self-help superstar.
James Ray has been the most amazing coach.
With hundreds of thousands of followers.
I'm not usually lost for words, but it's incredible. It's life-changing.
And a compelling message.
Unless and until you change your beliefs, you will never, ever even scratch the surface of what you're capable of.
Okay, so obviously this guy, James Arthur Ray, is very charismatic, great public speaker, has a great presence, and really can gin up a crowd. He can get people going. I mean, I spent some time in my mid to late 20s. This guy, Anthony Robbins, personal power, self-help guru kind of guy. Man, and I was into it. I traveled several hours away. I think it was Pittsburgh. And went to one of his all-day events. It was probably $700 or $800. So for me at the time, it was a huge investment. And I was blown away by that. Bought the personal power tapes and all that, because I was not satisfied with my life. I wanted to be better. I wanted to make more. I wanted to have a more intense and successful business life. And so, man, this guy seemed to have the answers. So in this Guru by Wondery, this podcast, yeah, it's about the self-help thing, like they call it, the dark side of enlightenment. But it's also like part crime drama. So my favorite murder, there's a lot of podcasts out there that kind of focus on that. So that's part of the interest and part of the success of this new podcast from Wondery is the crime drama aspect. But I really want to focus on kind of self-help in general, because I think most people are dissatisfied with their lives. I know I've had ups and downs of that as a Christian, as a somebody in my 50s now, and certainly earlier in life, I'm feeling like my life wasn't going in the right direction. I wasn't satisfied with where I was. And so I think this is a pretty common theme for a lot of us that we're just not satisfied. So I want to dig into that a little bit today on the SOB podcast as we listen to some of these clips from Guru. Interesting, something I wanted to share with you from Newsweek magazine. This was a huge nationwide study, 8 to 10,000 people, but it was back in the mid to late 90s. And they basically were polling people, talking to people about how they felt about where they were at in their lives. And get this, this was really shocking and kind of sad to me when I found out about it. 10% of the people that responded were successful beyond their imagination. Just things just went way better than they ever could have imagined. Maybe they came from tough backgrounds. So 10% success, wow, that's amazing. 10% massive, utter failure, right? Drug addiction, all that kind of stuff. Just their life was a train wreck. But 80%, get this, 80%, the phraseology from the study was that they simply endured. 80% of the respondents nationwide, close to 10,000 of them, they simply endured, which to me was heartbreaking to hear that. That, you know, it's kind of like, I owe, so off to work I go. I work Monday through Friday. Everybody's working for the weekend. Thank God it's Friday. And so I think that's a common theme for a lot of us, Christian or non-Christian, older, younger, conservative, liberal, whatever. I think a lot of us are not that excited about where we are in life. And so that's why this really drew my attention, this Guru podcast. So what's the key to happiness? How hard are you looking? Where are you looking? One of the main characters in the Guru story is a girl, a young woman named Kirby Brown, as well as her grieving mom, Jenny.
Kirby was in her late 30s and had bounced around careers and relationships. She wanted more success and stability in her life. Jenny knew that Kirby had been doing her own soul searching and that James's teachings had already helped.
And she was going to stay there to get the most out of the experience, whether she believed everything or not. But neither of us ever thought he was dangerous.
Kirby's mom, Jenny, had attended one of these James Ray events with her daughter. And so she saw that, you know, she was full of hope and excited. She didn't buy some of the things that she heard. It was nice of her to go with her daughter. But she saw her daughter as somebody that needed help, and she was searching, and it seemed like this guy had some decent answers, and he was seemingly having an impact on Kirby. And so her mom was like, well, I hope it helps. And obviously that comment there at the end of that clip that didn't know that he was dangerous really begins to pique your interest when you listen to the Guru podcast series. And it's about 6 episodes. Kirby was there because she was dissatisfied with most aspects of her life. And she was looking for hope and for help. Like I said earlier, I think like most of us are. Are you looking for hope? Are you looking for help? Are you looking for a way to improve your life? Things at school, things in your relationships, things with your business, your ministry, perhaps, or just your life in general. Looking for help. Looking for hope. Man, I'm not satisfied. So sadly for Kirby and 2 other followers of this particular guru, James Ray, their quest for happiness ended up costing them their lives, which is where this becomes incredibly heartbreaking. Kirby and a bunch of other James Ray followers ended up going to the kind of the pinnacle of all his guru experiences, which was called the Spiritual Warrior Camp. It was held at a remote camp near Sedona, Arizona. And they're out there. It's kind of like going to a summer camp, pretty remote, pretty rustic. And, you know, there's a bunch of people there. They're excited and they get together. And like the first thing, they meet in this big building, kind of a lodge. And the first thing that happens, not lunch, not some rah-rah conversation by James Ray, but he tells everybody they need to shave their heads. And so that was a part of this podcast, and people, and a couple of them are like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that far. And other people were like, yeah, let's do it, man. Radical. Why? Why would they do that? Would you do that? If you went to something like this, there'd be an immense amount of peer pressure. You're thinking, well, hey, this guy, he's brought me this far. I guess we just need to do something tough. I know maybe he's trying to equalize everybody. I'm not sure, but I'm just going to go ahead with it. And it's just to me, again, as I'm listening to the podcast, I keep hearing in my spirit, and I'm thinking about people that are just longing for help and hope and want to see their lives improve, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, I've been like that myself, like I said, and perhaps you're there as well. I don't know of anybody that says there's no improvement needed in my life and I'm perfectly consistent or perfectly content with where I'm at. I think most of us struggle with that. The question is, what do you do? What do you do about that? Who do you turn to? For me, as a Christian, my guru, to use that phraseology, I found in Jesus Christ. I tried Personal Power and Anthony Robbins and a bunch of other things I checked out, but they just left me wanting. It didn't really reach me at a soul level. But once I was introduced, and I grew up in church, but once I was introduced to Jesus on a personal level, like I can actually know this guy and his teachings and the teachings of the Bible, some of which were hard to deal with and others were easier, then it started to unlock a totally different way to fulfillment and happiness and meaning. And quite frankly, something that none of these gurus are really going to get to the heart of. But in this case, they went through all these things, and then this really started to go south at this spiritual warrior event, which cost, by the way, $10,000 to go there. That shows you just how committed these folks were to trying to find happiness and improve their lives and hope. $10,000. But it really went south when they did this thing called a sweat lodge, which was based on American Indians practice, and where they would have a teepee and hot rocks. But in this case, it was much bigger, almost like a carnival situation. A lot of people in there, and not handled well, but people were desperate. And so it just kind of went south from here. Let's check out the next clip from the guru.
James sat on an elevated chair and announced, "We're not going to have lunch."
At that point, he tells us, "Oh, you better go drink some water because you're about to go in a sweat lodge, and it's better if you're hydrated." We're like, "What?"
James had been overseeing exercises that he called sweat lodges since at least 2003. His employees and people who'd been following him for years knew that these were harsh, challenging events. But in his speech, James called them sacred.
So you're going to have an opportunity this afternoon to once again partake in a tradition, a sacred ceremony, and a practice that is as old as time itself, a death and rebirth experience. It's an experience that I promise you might very well be one of the most difficult things you've ever done with me, if not in your entire life. If you choose to play full on, which I'm going to challenge you to do, it will be the most intense experience, the most intense heat that you have ever experienced in your entire life. I guarantee that. You will feel as if you're going to die. I guarantee that.
So could you imagine being there in that room, and he's talking about this stuff, and now we're going to have this sweat lodge experience, quote, a death and rebirth experience. Or another quote, he said, "You will feel as if you are going to die. I guarantee that." So for me, as kind of a intense person, and in many ways, I'm like, that's would it be appealing to me, right? Super challenging. I'm going to push myself to my limits. But I would have to trust the guy that's saying that. And with James Ray and a lot of these folks, just about all of them, and I think there were 30, 40, 50 people there. I don't think in the story, when I was listening to the podcast, I don't think anybody said, forget that. You're totally screwed in the head. I'm not going. They all went, but they trusted him. And then their desire for a better life, like I said earlier, for help and hope and success and just better relationships, that was just driving them. Driving them to do something that probably scared the crap out of them at the time, but they're willing to. And that's a big question for all. What are you willing to do in order to find happiness, in order to find meaning, in order to feel some hope? Because there's, like I said earlier, I think there's a whole lot of people that are feeling hopeless and helpless that are looking for some help. The question is, where are you going to go? And where's the truth? And where does your hope come from? Which actually is a line from the Bible, actually. My hope comes from the Lord, right? For me as a Christian. But it's just, and then it just goes horrendous at that point. Because they go into this sweat lodge and you learn that it's like 125 degrees session after session. They don't come out. They keep bringing in more hot rocks. And then as it continued to go south and people are literally starting to get sick and to the point of death, your body actually starts to shut down. Your organs start to shut down because your body's freaking out because your body temperature is all screwed up. And so it's moving blood around and it's drawing blood away from your organs and your organs start to shut down. But again, the question is put yourself there. Would you have gone into the sweat lodge? You know, I think a good number of us probably would have. I would have felt challenged as a guy. I would have been like, yeah, I'll show you how tough I am. How long I would have lasted, I don't know. And it depends on how desperate I was. So that's the question for all of us. How desperate do you feel about the quality of your life right now? How desperate do you feel about your future, where you're at with your relationships, who you are as an individual, with your career, making money, whatever. And that drives a lot of the activities that we all engage in, doesn't it? As we look for meaning in life, there's got to be more to life than this. Even Tom Brady, whether you love him or hate him, with the Patriots after winning, I think it was 5 Super Bowls, when he was interviewed, he's like, yeah, you know, you get to the end of it, you get another ring, and you ask yourself the question, is that all there is? Which for me as a Christian, I was the same way before I came into a personal relationship with Christ. And then once I met him individually, personally, and started to learn about his teachings, then it unlocked this level of contentment and satisfaction and meaning and purpose in my life that I quite frankly didn't even know existed. But back to the sweat lodge, man, it was just going horribly, and this gets really dark really fast.
People started throwing up on each other, like this just projectile white throw up everywhere.
Tarps were splayed out flat around her, soaked. Staff members raced through the mud and vomit, hosing people down with water, trying to keep them awake, to cool them down. A few people sat in cheap plastic chairs, breathing heavily and chugging from bottles.
And one girl was freaking out. She was next on my left, and she, like her body was flailing around, and she was screaming, I don't like it, I wanna go back, I wanna go back. She was very distraught.
What a horrific scene, right? I mean, can you imagine that? People just coming out of this sweat lodge. They have the tarps out there, projectile vomiting, white vomit, people just losing it all over the place. And as I listened to this, you know, part of me thought, you know, I'm being really frank with you. Part of me thought, who are these idiots? Why would you keep doing that? I mean, why would you go in there in the front? Okay, fine, go check it out. But after a little while, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, okay, I feel like I'm dying. I'm out of here. But this went on for hours, and 3 people ended up dying. You'll hear about that in a second. Again, part of me was like, golly, how stupid is that? And I'm like, hold on, Steve. Don't be an SOB here. Don't be so condescending, because, listen, I did plenty of things earlier in my life looking for meaning, looking for help, looking for hope, looking for love in all the wrong places, all that kind of stuff. And I think that's a common theme that we all wrestle with. And in this case, it's just brutal to listen to. So, but it poses questions that we need to wrestle with. Where are you looking for satisfaction? How satisfied are you with your life? How's it all working out for you? How's your plan working out for you? And again, for me as a Christian, I found incredible answers in Jesus. And yes, in the Bible, the Bible. It's something I hope you'll consider. Maybe you're already there, but again, my heart just breaks listening to this, going, man, these people were so hopeful. They were looking for help, and they trusted him. And you'll hear it. I mean, the cops, people were responding, who are these idiots? Even Kirby's mom eventually had to deal with the fact, like, why did my daughter do this? Why did she choose this? And then she ends up dying, and then we're left with all this wreckage. Really, really important questions that I think we all need to wrestle with. Okay, let's see what happened next.
911, where is your emergency?
13850 Angel Valley Road.
Okay, what's the problem?
2 people aren't breathing. There's no pulse.
Aren't breathing?
Yes.
Okay, is this a result of a shooting or something?
No, it was a sweat lodge.
A sweat lodge?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Then they started making everybody leave.
The Spiritual Warrior staff and volunteers started guiding those who could walk themselves away from the tent. Within 30 minutes, a helicopter arrived. Moments later, an ambulance followed.
So as the dust cleared in the aftermath of this train wreck, this nightmare, Kirby Brown was dead. She was 38. James Shore was dead. He was 40. And Liz Newman died 9 days later. She was 49. And again, my heart just breaks. And I'm trying not to be SOB guy here. I hope that doesn't sound condescending. I do not mean it to be condescending. Again, listen, I think most of us are struggling. I think most people are struggling. I think a lot of us suffer in silence. We don't reach out. And when we do reach out, the question is, who do we reach out to? What kind of answers are we getting? Where are we looking in order to find some peace and some hope and some help? And in this case, obviously, it cost 3 people their lives. And I'm sure a lot of the other attendees are probably still broken from this. And this is going back several years now. He was eventually convicted on 3 counts of negligent homicide in 2013, or actually in 2011. But the detective came out there, the detective on the case, came out the next morning, shortly thereafter, within a couple of days. And at the same time, well, check this clip out, when Kirby's mom found out about her daughter.
That same morning in upstate New York, Kirby Brown's mother, Ginny Brown, got a visitor.
Friday morning at 8:15, a trooper came to my door and asked me if I knew Kirby Brown.
Kirby was the woman who had spent her life savings to attend Spiritual Warrior.
And when I say, yes, I'm her mom, he says she passed in a sweat lodge in Arizona. And I'm initially confused. I'm like, she's at the Spiritual Warrior retreat. What are you talking about? Passed. Do you mean dead? I was so blindsided.
She didn't believe it.
You know, maybe this is a mistake. It wasn't real. And then when we spoke to the investigators in Arizona, we realized it was all too real.
James Shore and Kirby Brown died after participating in a cleansing ceremony inside the sauna-like hut. 19 other people also became ill, and one is still in critical condition.
The story of the deaths at Spiritual Warrior made national news. Ginny Brown's phone kept ringing off the hook. For days, she let every single call go straight to voicemail, except for one.
James Ray's assistant called our home on Tuesday afternoon.
Ginny immediately picked up the phone. Soon, James Arthur Ray was on the other end.
So James Ray gets on the phone and says, "How are you?" And I say, "I'm in shock." And he says, "I am too. I can't imagine how this could have happened." And then he said, "You know, Kirby was just such a wonderful person, and you need to know she was in a really good place." And I just said, "Too bad it was with you in Sedona."
Oh, man. As a parent, I've had dreams that literally knocked me out of bed, gasping for air and crying, imagining one of our four kids dying somehow, some way, some tragic thing. One time it was just our oldest. I had a dream that he just disappeared. They couldn't find him. We were at a carnival or a fair or something. And I woke up just absolutely in a panic, on the ground, crying in total panic, like it was real. And so I can't imagine what Jenny, Kirby's mom, experienced in that moment. But for her to say, you know, the place that she ended up, where Kirby ended up, just too bad it was with you. And that just shows you, I mean, this James Ray calling, and she goes on to say, Kirby's mom, Jenny, goes on to say that he didn't even say he was sorry. It's like there was no contrition there. There was no ownership of the fact that he led these folks down a road and handled it so irresponsibly that three people ended up dying. And the Native Americans in the area got involved. And when there was a court case, they showed up because the sweat lodge practice that they had done for generations, you know, they handle it safely. But he didn't do any of that stuff. So they wanted to make sure they protected their own sacred rights, R-I-T-E-S, of the sweat lodge, because they didn't want people to say, "Oh, these Native Americans are just, golly, we can't allow that to go on." So that was interesting that they included that. But he was eventually convicted, like I mentioned, of three counts of negligent homicide. He spent 2 years in the Arizona State Prison. He was released in July of 2013. And then on November 25th of 2013, he relaunched his self-help business. And he did it on CNN's Piers Morgan Live. I mean, to me, that was just, are you kidding me? And he hasn't done well, which I'm good. Praise the Lord that he hasn't done well, because he can't be trusted. But again, this is such a tragic story. And it goes back to what I started this conversation with. And I hope you're contemplating for yourself as we consider where we're at in life. Where are we looking to for help? What are we looking to satisfy us? What should satisfy us? What should life look like? What's going to be good enough to help you feel content? Like your life has meaning and purpose and you're content. Not that I'm not saying we shouldn't be ambitious. I'm ambitious. But are we content? Are we happy? Are we satisfied? Or are we longing for more and we're looking for help? And the question goes back to, where are you looking for your help? Where are you looking for your help? And people promise a lot of things. And it's just a question I think we all need to wrestle with. Again, for me as a Christian, you know where I'm coming from. You know who my guru is. My guru is Jesus Christ. So who's yours? For some people, it's yourself. Definitely for many years in my life, I was my own guru. I knew best, you know, my way or the highway. But not anymore. But for a lot of people, and like people like Kirby Brown and Liz Newman and James Shore, they trusted somebody. They were looking for satisfaction, for happiness, and it cost them their lives. And it's just heartbreaking, isn't it? One last clip from Kirby's mom with a tough subject that I think we all probably should wrestle with.
But she couldn't answer that nagging question.
I felt angry at her. We all did. You know, how could you have allowed yourself to be duped by this guy?
It was a question lots of people were asking themselves. Why had Kirby and the others followed James into that hot tent? And as temperatures rose, why had they stayed? Ginny had asked those questions. Investigators had too. And then, a year and a half after Kirby was laid to rest, those questions finally went before a jury. Ginny and George Brown packed their suitcases and set off for Arizona.
Man, what a tough question to wrestle with. As Kirby's mom, she said, how could you allow yourself to be duped by that guy? You know, I really appreciate she was honest in sharing that, that they were angry, that they were really wrestling with that question. I appreciate Wondery including that in the Guru podcast, because that's a really deep question. How could you allow yourself to be duped by that guy? But the answer is pretty simple. Because Kirby was looking for help. She was looking for hope. I know I keep banging that gong and we're about to be done, but that's what drove it. That's what drove her to spend $10,000. That's what drove her to go into that tent. That's what drove her to allow them to shave all the hair off of her head. That's what drove her into the tent. That's what drove her to stay there. And that quest, that desire, that brokenness and in need for help and hope and wanting to find a way to improve. You know, James talked about this in his self-help stuff, harmonic wealth, financial, relational, intellectual, physical, and spiritual. I mean, everybody's like, hey, I agree with that. She was so driven by it because she hadn't achieved it. She couldn't find it. And she thought, I guess, that perhaps she'd find it there at the Spiritual Warriors camp and maybe inside that tent. And that's just, oh, it's just heartbreaking that she was that desperate and that James Arthur Ray took advantage of that desperation for his own personal gain, and people died as a result of it. So to finish up, just the question for all of us, for you, is how do you feel about your life? How do you feel about where you're going? How do you feel about the state of your financial, relational, intellectual, physical, and spiritual life? And where are you looking for answers? As a Christian, if you're not a Christian, I would just ask you to consider that maybe the ultimate guru lived a couple thousand years ago, and he still speaks today through the Bible. His teachings are easily accessible. He loves you. He cares about you. He cares about you so much that he didn't ask you to go into a tent and die for him. He died for you. That's the essence of Jesus's message in terms of how much he loves and values all mankind, because he did it for all of us. And then what do you do with that? How do you respond to that? What are his teachings? And if you look into it, like I did, like my wife did, I think you'll find that there's no man or woman on earth, be it Oprah or James Arthur Ray or anybody else, somebody on TikTok or Instagram or Twitter, there's not a single human being on earth that can satisfy and lead and help and offer hope and meaning and contentment like Jesus can. So maybe you're just shaking your head and go, oh, whatever. But if not, I hope you'll check it out. Or you can go to the website, whoisthissob.com. There's a little button there called Heaven. If you want to start looking into that, feel free to email me, info@whoisthissob.com. Also, you can comment at the website. And if you want to talk about that, man, I would be honored to not point to myself. I can't be your guru. I don't want to be your guru, but Jesus can, and Jesus does. So maybe you'll check that out. Okay. Thanks for your time today. As always, thanks for checking out the podcast, whoisthissob.com. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And be sure to subscribe. Share it with your friends. I'd love to hear their opinion, your opinion, as we go down these roads and consider these popular podcasts and the questions that they bring up. And like I always say, sometimes I'll agree, sometimes I won't. But I hope we can have constructive conversation. I hope I'm not quite the SOB that I certainly can be, or perhaps that you expected. And until next time, God bless you. I hope things go your way. I hope things go well. And look forward to talking to you again soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.